And some developing news this evening. We're now expecting to hear about the fate of JobSeeker and JobKeeper within the next 24 hours. These are two critical packages which have kept hundreds of thousands of businesses afloat and supported millions of Australians during this pandemic. Both programs are set to expire in September, but tomorrow the federal government will announce what we should expect to see post-September for the next phase of this crisis. The Prime Minister has already flagged there will be industry-specific packages. For more, I'm joined by Cassandra Goldie, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Council of Social Service, and they've been very, very vocal about what they'd like to see. Cassandra, welcome.
Yes, good evening, Patricia.
So they are bringing forward this much-awaited announcement by a day, it seems. It was supposed to be announced on Thursday when the Treasurer delivers the mini-budget, but looks like we might be seeing it on Tuesday or some details. What do you make of that development, and what do you expect to see when it comes to, and I know JobSeeker, the unemployment benefit, is of particular interest to you?
Well, Patricia, of course, both JobSeeker and JobKeeper are really critical. I mean, affecting millions of people, as you say. Right now, we've got about 1.6 million people who are relying on JobSeeker, about $550 per week. I mean, that's a lifeline payment. It's nowhere near generous, of course. We know that it's still really hard for many people to keep a roof over their head, even on that amount, and the, you know, food on the table. And of course, 2.3 million people overall are getting this COVID supplement. So it's a big decision. I hope that the government's bringing it forward, it's because they want to get out and give people confidence. They want to assure the community that they have people's back and for the long haul. I hope that's what we're going to see. I'm worried that we're hearing that we might be facing a lower amount. We might be facing a more temporary arrangement again. I think that'd be a huge mistake. We know that this is going to affect, right, it's going to go right through the economy and your community. I mean, these are precious dollars that people are relying on, and we're nowhere near out of the health crisis, as you know very well there in Melbourne.
That's right. Yeah. Well, the government has essentially flagged a targeted approach for round two. Do you think that's a good way to think about it, to target the supports to the industries, the jobs that need it most?
Well, of course, income support, Social Security, has always been targeted. I mean, it is about people who are unable to get paid work. I mean, this is the crucial unemployment payment, JobSeeker. Right now, we've got just one job available for every 13 people. That's 13 people who don't have a job. And so the government needs to understand that this lifeline payment of JobSeeker is the one that's going to get people through. Just keep people's head above water as we all do everything we can to open up job opportunities in a way that's safe. You know, in the context of the health crisis, I mean, we've put many proposals through to the government about how to create jobs. It's crucial, of course, that we do. Social housing, you know, fixing energy efficiency adaptations on low-income households. There's been some broad proposals brought through across business and the community sector about what to do to create jobs. But it's going to take time. And so I really hope that the government has listened to the broad support from business groups right across the community. I mean, we know that in the JobSeeker context, that money is being spent on the essentials, Patricia. It's going through the economy. It's helping to keep other people in jobs. And so this is a cascading effect of these decisions tomorrow. And I certainly hope the government gets it right.
You're calling for a phased withdrawal from JobKeeper. What would that look like exactly then?
Well, look, for JobKeeper, I mean, we do, of course, want to keep crucial jobs, afloat. Of course, for example, in the community sector, we've got many of those sort of caring roles that are so crucial. But, of course, revenue, you know, donations, trying to raise alternative revenue has been a really rocky road for people. And so we would accept that we need to be retesting who needs to continue to get JobKeeper and whose revenues have restored or, you know, where businesses are actually now doing very well. We think, you know, having some kind of better targeting around part-time, full-time is probably the right way to go too. But we've got to be very careful with what we do here. So we would expect to see some retesting of revenue checks checking to see the kinds of jobs that are, in the firing line, and making sure that we are not losing jobs that are really important for the community and for the economy.
JobSeeker, the unemployment benefit, essentially doubled what people were getting on the new start allowance, which you had long argued was not acceptable. We've had early indications today that the government won't snap back to the new start rate of $560 a fortnight. What would an acceptable rate look like to you?
Well, it would have been unthinkable, wouldn't it, to have gone back to just $40 a day. And I mean, even with the doubling of that amount, as I say, we were finding that still about 4 in 10 people are still struggling in some cases to meet medical costs, and about 30% of people are still saying they're still struggling to feed themselves 3 times a day. So this is an amount that needs to be adequate. It needs to protect people, to keep people out of poverty. Single households are particularly badly affected, of course, if you've got children, if you're in the private rental market, but it's got to be the adequate amount and to make sure the overall social security system is going to protect people. And Tricia, you know how social security works. It's very important we get this right, and we need to make sure that that base rate is going to be enough to cover the costs. Look, right now, as I say, many people will need every dollar that they're getting, and in some cases more.
Earlier this month, the Fair Work Commission ruled it did not believe the pandemic was at a stage that required a need for healthcare workers to receive paid pandemic leave. Do you think that that ruling is fair?
Oh, I think the call from the union movement is one that we all support about the need for paid pandemic leave. I mean, people are making very tough decisions right now. We're asking a lot of people to do the lockdowns, to do the social distancing, to make sure that you're getting the checks that you need. For many people, when you've got children, of course, you're again having to get regular tests. This is a really hard juggling act for people. And of course, at the same time, secure yourself financially, feeding people. And so paid leave is a really crucial part of this, and for as long as it takes. And then, of course, to make sure that for example, your housing situation is secure, the other measures that are in place right now, we might need to extend, of course, in a moratorium on evictions. So it's a combination of measures, Patricia, but the reality is we cannot have people going to work when you shouldn't be because you're financially distressed.
Cassandra, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Cassandra Goldie is the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Council of Social Services, known as ACOS. This is RN Drive.